Welcome back, y'all. Welcome back.
Some Dude Show. NBA Finals post game live on AMP. Tonight is a little different, though. We just saw that Denver Nuggets capture their first NBA championship. The first NBA championship by the Denver Nuggets. We got to say congrats to those Denver Nuggets. I've been on the record for a long time. I know y'all been paying attention. Y'all been following Cuff the Legend for years on Twitter, social media. I was the one who first said the Denver Nuggets don't scare a soul. I've been saying that for years. I've been the guy on record saying the Denver Nuggets, it don't matter who was on the team. Way back, Mutombo, even though I was a fan of Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, LaPhonso Ellis and those guys, we saw the 8-seed Nuggets back in the day upset the Supersonics with Sean Kemp and Gary Payton. But all through the years, it seemed like they always came up short. In the last 5 or 6 years, we never believed this team. We never saw this team get into the mountaintop. We never saw it. We never believed it. They always lied to us, even in the bubble against the Lakers. The Denver Nuggets, pathological liars. But I got to say it tonight, live on the Some Dude Show, live on AMP. The Denver Nuggets are world champions, but you still don't scare a soul. You still don't scare a soul, Denver. You still don't scare a soul. You don't scare a fucking soul. This NBA final stinks. It stinks. And I love basketball. I consider myself one of the all-time basketball purists you're going to meet, man. I was that kid on the school bus reading the Sports Illustrated magazine at 6, 7 years old. Basketball brainiac, right? But this NBA finals, do y'all agree with me? This right here was bad basketball. This right here was very egregious. This was bad. It was bad. It was brutal to watch. Look at this final score. Just look at the score tonight. Look at the score. 94-89. That sounded like 1980s New York Knicks, Indiana Pacers, Dale Davis, Antonio Davis, all the bodybuilders out there hacking the shit out of Patrick Ewing. Speaking of bodybuilders, tonight on the Some Dude Show, we got the greatest bodybuilder to ever roam planet Earth. I'm talking about 7-time Mr. Olympia Phil Heath. He going to pull up 13 years. This guy was a 13-year season ticket holder for the Denver Nuggets. He played some basketball in college in Seattle. He even went to D1. He played for the University of Denver. I'm going to have Phil pull up, but I see y'all in the chat, man. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Let's activate the chat. If you got some questions, some Q&A, throw it in the chat. But I got to tip my hat, man. We got to give some dude kudos out the gate, right? Miami Heat, y'all got heart, man. I know people going to dissect this series, and they're going to try to break it down all type of ways and deep dive. The Miami Heat, they went as far as they could go. Bam Adebayo, he really showed up this series. Bam, you get my respect. But Jimmy, you showed up late. You showed up too late tonight, Jimmy. We got to talk about it. We got to keep it spicy. We got to keep it spicy. I've been saying it. Where is Jimmy? Who is Jimmy Butler? That's the question. In the offseason, Pat Riley, the Heat organization, yes, they love Jimmy. I know he's a beloved son in Miami now. He exemplifies everything that's the Miami Heat culture, the toughness. But I got to keep it spicy on my show, man. Jimmy didn't show up. Bam was carrying you the whole series. The first couple rounds, the Celtics series, yes. The NBA Finals with the game on the line. The game on the line, Jimmy. You look like Tyrone Corbin tonight, Jimmy. Jimmy, you look like Gary Neal from the Spurs. You look like Kerry Kittles out there, Jimmy. You look like Jamario Moon. Who was that guy out there? Who was 22 out there with the Heat jersey on tonight? Minus the last 4 or 5 minutes there when he started to turn it on a little bit, but it was too late. It was too late. But I got to give the game ball to Michael Porter Jr. tonight. Michael Porter Jr. has been criticized a lot, even in these finals. He's been struggling with his shot. He's been playing a lot of selfish go-to-hell ball, as I would say. But that's the beautiful thing about these Nuggets, right? If you look at this series in its totality, right, 4 out of 5 starters had a signature game. Even Bruce Brown off the bench, Christian Brown off the bench. But the starters, Jamal Murray had a game. Jokic, you know, he's the finals MVP. KCP's the only guy who really didn't have a signature game here. Aaron Gordon had his game. He has been the unsung hero. But Michael Porter Jr. showed up big time tonight, man. Michael Porter Jr. really showed up. He really blossomed in the moment. He does have one of the most beautiful jump shots on earth. He does. But Nikola Jokic, man, finals MVP. We got to say he is the best basketball player on planet Earth until proven otherwise. So Joel Embiid, even though you won MVP this year, you're not on that guy's level. We need to see Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, this right here should be your wake-up call. Watching Nikola Jokic just ravage through the playoffs and dominate. He dominated every matchup. It actually looked easy at times. Thomas Bryant, tears at the podium. I see y'all in the chat. Shout out to Kink in the chat. But I'm going to bring Phil on. My guy, let me see if my guy on here, Phil Heath, man. Phil Heath, the living legend, the icon. Make sure I got you here, Phil. Unmute your mic. There we go. Good?
All right, yeah, cool.
There we go. Sir. Yo, we got seven-time Mr. Olympia, Phil Heath, the living legend. Yo, Phil, yo, we've been talking back and forth. We chat a lot. And I always joke about dudes having little shoulders. That's one thing I joke about, right? I always do the little shoulder shit. But I got to admit, Phil, everybody, when you walk in the gym or you walking around the mall or a restaurant, everybody has little shoulders compared to Phil Heath, man. Everybody got little shoulders.
Yep. You're damn right.
You are the Michael Jordan of bodybuilding, man. You won the Mr. Olympia seven times. And I know you understand what it feels like to be like the best in the world. And the gratification, the validation that comes with being a world champion in any sport. And you felt that pain, you felt that glory, you felt that mountaintop. How do you think your Denver Nuggets, a team that you sat there and watched firsthand for 13 years, being a season ticket holder and being like a fan and being in the midst and knowing some of these guys, how do you think these guys are feeling tonight and the city of Denver?
Well, I can tell you what, right now, the city of Denver is ecstatic. I mean, beyond belief. The tickets that I had were actually shared by a gentleman named Rich Morgan, and he's still alive. He's had those season tickets since the ABA days, brother. And
it's the David Thompson era.
Exactly. So he's at the game tonight with his son, and I'm just very happy that they were able to enjoy that moment. But of course the athletes, the players, the coaches, man, they are definitely excited, but they expected to win. And I think a lot of people, you know, when we look at Coach Malone, you know, the way that he carried himself, you know, of course he walked with a chip on his shoulder, especially around the Lakers, which honestly is my favorite team of all time. But it was because he wanted to be a champion and he wanted his guys to believe that non-freaking stop. And he allowed his players to play with that confidence. And they proved it tonight. You know, it was not, like you said, it was the ugliest freaking game I had ever seen. And I know if I was there, I would have no voice because I was already yelling at the damn screen, like, why are you guys just chucking up threes every possession you get? Why aren't you guys going to the basket? Why are you guys playing with tight sneakers and throwing that extra pass all lazy and stuff? It was just wild. But you know what? They got it done, man. And I'm just thankful. I am so happy for the city, man. They deserve it.
So did you see them running the table like this, though, Phil? Like, they got far in the bubble. The Lakers took them out in the bubble a few years ago. But when this season started, the Nuggets were the number one seed pretty much the whole season, but it still felt like nobody really took them serious. Did you see them dominating in this fashion that they did in the playoffs?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because their coach honestly just doesn't give a damn about what other people think. He would always say it in his press conferences. He would always lead with confidence. And these guys, I mean, at the end of the day, Jokic was probably, as much as he wants to be a little shy about like that MVP honor, you know, damn well he was thinking,
serious? You guys going to just do me like that? And then also Jamal Murray, you know, getting payback, you know, having to be that good and to be that injured, right? And not have an opportunity. And now it is his opportunity. He's like, you know, I'm going to prove that this was a fluke, guys, that we weren't able to win. And then, of course, Michael Porter Jr., you know, I got a rep. You know, he definitely has has a happy trigger finger, no question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happy, brother. I've never seen a young man like that shoot with that much confidence in that type of game ever in my life, you know, but he got the other things done, which I was very happy about, the rebounds and, you know, just the effort. And you can't get mad at a gentleman that is just all about effort. So, yeah, you know, throughout the season, I thought that they would do well in the playoffs. I figured, well, if the Lakers were going to be healthy and, you know, if AD would actually be AD of the bubble, we would be in trouble. But you know what? I had a feeling. I was like, you know what? It was like the Lakers would play one good game and then play the next game terribly. And then you never could get a string of games.
And the Nuggets were consistent. And speaking of the bounce back, like you said, like Jamal Murray, he had the ACL injury. He was questioning his future. He even went to Mike Malone. We saw the story where he was like, are y'all going to trade me? So he had that doubt in the back of his mind coming back from that major injury. And you being a professional bodybuilder at the highest level, I know you dealt with injuries and setbacks too. How can that really affect your mental health? Because you know Jamal Murray, that's why I'm really happy for him, even more than anybody on the team. Like Jamal Murray really was doubting his career, and now he is in the spotlight, and he played the best basketball of his career. But how does that affect your mental health, having to come back from an injury like that?
It affects it tremendously because of your purpose. Your purpose, you're living in it. Every practice, every why in that man's road has led him to this moment tonight, right? But to be at a point where you had to see things a different way, which is, holy smokes, man, I'm doing everything in my power, but the cards are just stacked up against me, man. It's not because of my effort, it's because my body is just not capable. That's really hurtful. And for him to have a good support system, even a great support system, I know his teammates were supporting him, for him to just, you know, stick with it and be positive, and I'm glad they didn't trade him. I'm glad that they showed the confidence, even the front office. You know, those guys matter too. You know, when they, you know, we've all, not everybody has been into a league office of some sort, but everybody that has been a part of a sports team or a big time corporation, when you haven't shown up for a while, you do start feeling a little tension in the air. Or you start making up stuff in your mind, but he was able to eliminate all that, work with the confidence that they instilled in him, and just continue to produce. And I'm just very happy for him because, yeah, you know, I've had injuries pretty much every year of my career, and it only gets tougher as you get better. And that's the game of life, is that if you want something extremely purpose-driven, like very high value and standards, just like a video game, brother, to beat the boss, man, you got to go through some stuff.
Yes. And then,
you know what I'm saying? So you got to see yourself. It's like that video game, you know, old school video game, man, Mortal Kombat, right? You get to a certain level, you are now facing yourself.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Face yourself. And it's like, what are you talking about? Face myself. Yeah, brother, you may not be at your best, but you still got to face yourself. You got to face your demons. You got to face your weaknesses. And in bodybuilding, you are forced to face yourself every day. Because it isn't something where you can steal a loose ball or, you know, I can steal someone's dumbbells, but it ain't going to make me that, you know, that person can go get some more. You know, it doesn't matter. All that matters is how I see myself in the mirror and what I'm going to do each rep, every set, every workout that's going to provide me the best opportunity to be successful. And to see, you know, these guys, including, you know, Jamal Murray, to just champion through this terrible game, right?
terrible game. But guess what? Guess what, Phil? KCP is a two-time NBA champion now. Laker legend KCP. They asking me in the chat, Joel Elia says, what was Phil's points per game? in high school and college. They want to know if you was a bucket back in your day, Phil.
Bro, in college, I was not. I got no burn whatsoever, guys. And unfortunately, that's just the way it goes sometimes, right? But in high school, I was over 15 a game. And in fact, my point production diminished my senior year because of this guy that decided to transfer in by the name of Jamal Crawford.
Oh my! So Jamal, so you were getting the burn, you were getting the buckets, and Jamal Crawford transferred to Mount Rainier to your school.
So Jamal was originally going to come. In my opinion, he was going to come to Rainier Beach, right? And I believe it was like Jason Terry and a couple of guys from Franklin High School who have had much more success than my high school did. That got in his ear, and he was like wavering if he should, you know, play for Rainier Beach, who has never won anything but had all the talent. We were one of those schools that just couldn't pull it together. And for him to go to a champion, you know, Jason Terry won 2 state championships, right? And went on to did a lot of cool things. But then, you know, Jamal decided to, you know, stay at Rainier Beach. And, you know, the season of 97-98, we were able to go 27-2. We won the state championship at the old school King Dome in Seattle, Washington. And guess who we beat? It was called Olympia High School. Olympia High School, brother.
And then you went on to be 7-time Mr. Olympia.
Crazy.
Crazy.
And you want to hear something even crazier than that? The year that I won the Olympia in 2011, it was random. They give you like a number, you know, to a contestant number. I got the same number as I wore in college and high school, 22. Oh,
shit. Is that like, you feel like that's a sign? That's got to be a sign, bro, right?
When I was at athlete check-ins and they gave me that number, I was grinning from ear to ear. I mean, I was already ready to go, you know, handle my business. But when I got that, it was like that extra. It was just that extra. And I was like, oh. When they talk about the stars and the linemen, now all I got to do is just answer this call to greatness and go ahead and get mine. So, you know, it's one of those things, bro. But yeah, you know, high school was great, had great teammates. In fact, we were ranked that year 21st in USA Today national poll, 3rd on the West Coast behind Crenshaw and Compton Dominguez Hills. I mean, we were doing our thing. And then I'm sure you've probably have heard of some of the other athletes that have come out of Rainier Beach and just the city of Seattle and the state of Washington as well.
That's why I was going to ask you. Like, my first trip to Seattle was last summer. LeBron James Pro-Am, Jamal Crawford, we put that together. That was my first invite to the city. Okay. Yeah, they show so much love, but I was only there for 1 weekend. But you being there for your whole life, like, talk a little bit about it. I had Quentin Richardson on the last show, and we talked about Chicago hoops culture. Can you really break down in a small story version, what is Seattle hoops? Like, what makes Seattle basketball players different than anywhere in the country?
We play with a severe chip on our shoulder. Severe. If you think of all the guards that have come out of the state of Washington, we all play with a different type of pride, but it's all about grit. It's all about not, hey, we're all about getting buckets. We're all about being that guy. And you look at, you know, Jamal, you look at Nate Robb, you look at Aaron Brooks, Jason Terry, you look at, you know, Rodney Stuckey, you look at, you know, Zach LaVine. I mean, you look at all these different guys, man. All of them, you know, just want that shine. And Michael Porter Jr., and, you know, he played his senior season at Nathan Hale by a guy that was coached by the name of Brandon Roy, you know, who was Seattle phenom. I mean, we put him out, bro. And the city of Seattle, like, I'm sure you're able to feel it. We all support one another. Which is crazy. Yes. Like,
I felt the love. I felt the love when I was out there just in 1 weekend. I felt it.
Yeah. So, like, we all come out to support one another. Don't get it twisted. We still got that fire. If you notice, like, with Paolo and Baby Boy, you know, Jajonte, you know, they still get at it because, you know, you got the Rainier Beach O'Day beef. And that's just one of those things, but we all are just highly competitive people. And that's the easiest way to describe it. We're probably some of the most competitive people you will have ever met. And we kick it together. That's what's crazy. Even if we don't like each other, like, we still would kick it at some function. We would still find a way.
So we're just extremely competitive people. I'm glad that I'm from there because I was able to take that competitive nature and, you know, make a great living from it.
So how happy are you? We live right now with Phil Heath, if y'all don't know. 7-time Mr. Olympia, live on AMP with Cuffs the Legend. Out of all these Denver Nuggets, we happy for KCP. A lot of Laker fans are not going to be happy for Thomas Bryant. He asked for the trade, and he looks like a genius now. He's getting a ring. But outside of the players, Phil, I know you know some of these guys and the coaching staff. How happy are you for Mike Malone? Because he's been taking a lot of flack, a lot of heat. He's been talking real spicy about the Lakers, about pretty much every team. He seems like he's always had a chip on his shoulder. How happy are you for Coach Malone tonight?
I'm extremely happy for Coach Malone because, again, he did talk that talk, but he walked it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm good with it because when they say keep the same energy, well, he did all season long. He didn't just show up like, you know, when Jordan would, you know, like in Last Dance, Jordan would be like, don't be over here talking about it stuff like when you up 20. Talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, and Malone would tell you. So, you know, at the end of the day, they went against a lot of different types of teams, different styles. And they found a way to win, and I'm very happy for him because this only solidifies his coaching style and his passion for Denver. You know, I'm expecting, to be honest, I expect them to be in this position next year only because how the league is just shaped right now. Like, this is one of the deepest teams we've seen.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, do you think they are built to repeat? Because I said it all playoffs, that this Nuggets team is perfectly constructed around Jokic and his individual skill set. They put the pieces perfectly together around Jokic. And I think this team is built for a repeat. Do you think they built for, like, I think they can run it back. It's going to be hard to beat them.
It's going to be very hard to beat them. I mean, obviously injuries are a big factor. But that's also in the league. I think right now we're at an interesting point in time where both conferences are dealing with aging individuals, right? All of them are getting older, and we may not think they're old, but they are suffering from injury, whether they want to disclose it or not. As long as this Nuggets team stays healthy, the team togetherness, their synergy is great, right? I feel like maybe, just like most teams, they may have like some off-season acquisition, like a couple trades here and there. I don't know who we would get. We don't need like some crazy superstar from another team, more like a seasoned veteran just to maybe back up Jokic or something. Shout out to DeAndre Jordan. I mean, he got himself a ring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. DJ got him a ring. Yeah, DJ Reggie Jackson got him a ring.
Exactly. So now he can wear them big-ass hats with a ring on, player. But, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, no, I definitely feel like they should be able to run it back. It's the altitude as well that people have to play in that climate. And I feel like that's a big advantage that a lot of people didn't take notice. You have to be in shape. And with these 7-game series going on, you start to see who's truly in shape. And when we talk about load management, other teams going against the Nuggets are going to have to be very, very careful as to how they position their athletes throughout the regular season, only hoping that they would be peaked in the postseason, right? So they have to find like different ways of acclimating themselves. And actually, I was impressed with Miami for being able to still run. But if you notice, they played that zone perfectly. So that, why? So then they weren't able to keep the tempo high. Because that first game, bro, they were going to get ran out of the gym because they can't run.
Yeah, can't run like that, yeah.
Oh, so that's Denver's. Imagine if they ran tonight. It would have been a blowout. But
they had to slow it down, yeah.
Yeah, so when they played that possession ball, I mean, they were out of sync. And I think going forward, Denver's going to have to recognize that this is going to be, you know, Eric Spoelstra, shout out to him, but that is a formula that could work against Denver if they're shooting cold. So, you know, but I definitely feel like they can run it back. You know how it works, brother. Like, teams make stupid decisions. Hopefully in the front office they don't do that. Hopefully everybody enjoys themselves, but not too much because there's more work to be done. The city of Denver is going to continue to love on them and support them. I just hope that this is, you know, the first of many for, you know, the Denver Nuggets and the city of Denver, no question about it.
We live on AMP right now with the legend, the living legend, Phil Heath. Before I let you go, Phil, you know, I'm a part of the Big Shoulders fraternity. You are like the godfather of the Big Shoulder fraternity. And I got to ask you, when you in the gym, Phil, you locked in, empty gym is the best. We both know that an empty gym is the absolute best. But when you're locked in, man, shoulder day, back day, what is on the Phil Heath playlist when you in the gym, bro? I always wanted to know that. Like, what music are you playing that's really getting you focused and locked in?
Man, there will be days, there's like, leg day will be primarily, we're talking metal. It's got to be some rock or metal. Like, no, because you got to go out of your mind to go do these crazy squats and stuff, right?
Can you tell the fellas to stop skipping leg day? Can you tell them to stop stop doing that?
Hey, if they want to wear those, what do they call them, the short shorts or Hoochie Daddies or whatever, you can't be walking around on these stilts, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be looking like you're riding the damn chicken, okay? Like, but the chicken jockeys out here with these little ass legs and ain't got no calves. I ain't expecting every black guy to have calves, okay? I get it. There's some genetic predispositions going on that don't allow us to have those things. Don't worry. I'll clear that though for you. But for everybody else, you got to train them legs, man. You got to. And, you know, it shows effort. It shows a lot of effort to be able to grow some legs, some calves, you know, grow those quads. And it'll help you with your athletics, you know, it'll help you out with your vertical, it'll help you out with your sprints and all that stuff as well. But yeah, you know, for the most part, you know, I'm from the West Coast, so I go old school, bro. I'm talking about Ice Cube, no Vaseline, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll play like crazy stuff. I'll play Sebo, Brother Lynch. We're talking about like Mac Mall. Like,
you in the trenches.
Yeah, I'm in there, man. Like, you know, old school stuff, because it's just how I roll, man. I'll play some old school Sugar Free if I want to, you know.
Sugar Free. Shout out to the OG. You never thought. See, that's the type of stuff you get on the Some Dude Show. The legend Phil Heath. He say he in the gym. He on chest day. He listening to the OG Sugar Free, bro.
Exactly. So, you know, roll with that, some DJ Quick. You know, I'm just a West Coast for life type of dude. And then, you know, there's other days, you know, you shout out to the East, you know, some old Wu-Tang, you know, but I'm with the classics, man. I can still get down with some of the current stuff, but not as much, you know. The stuff that I train to has just been iconic stuff, you know, like the Tupacs, you know, of the world, even the Jay-Z's and some of the old Kanye stuff, and especially like Nas and, you know, all those guys. But it's got to be something powerful. I mean, current guys right now, I still rock with, you know, Young Jeezy. I love a lot of his stuff. But you know who I was listening to the other day that I had to throw back on the rotation was Busta Rhymes and some Jadakiss. Like those two guys by far are like some of the most lyrically talented people I've ever heard. Like,
yo, I always play the locks when I work out. Like, when I get in my 97, 98 bag, like, I'm always playing the locks.
Man, you said my high school year right there, bro. So yeah, man. Yeah, you already know. That's the John right there, man. But yeah, bro. That's really what I mess with. What you messing with though?
That's what I'm on. I'm on that DMX. I'm on that Griselda. When I'm in the gym, I'm on that Griselda, that Benny the Butcher, that Conway the Machine.
Oh, yeah, Conway, yes.
Yeah, I'm on that Ransom. Shout out to Ransom. If y'all ain't on the Ransom, Ransom is great gym music. But we live on AMP right now with Phil Heath. Man, I appreciate you pulling up, man. The Denver Nuggets, our Lakers fell short this year. I know everybody in the chat still suffering from PTSD. Everybody still got PTSD. But I think the Lakers got to put it together. What do you want to see? Before I let you go, what do you want to see the Lakers do this summer, Phil?
Well, they've a couple things. They've got to make sure if it's LeBron or someone or Magic or somebody to get hands on AD right now. There can't be any, oh, well, I haven't played hoop in like 3 months type of stuff. Like, that's not what champions do, especially with people with that type of talent. So he's got to figure out whatever it is with his body to get him recovered, to get him ready. But they need another piece, man. There's shooters out there. and they need to find them at least one that's consistent.
Give me a name, Phil. What's your dream scenario?
The dream scenario for me, well, originally it was Kyrie, but I was like, nah, that's not going to work. Dame Dalla for sure would, oh my God, him hitting threes the way he's done in Portland, in LA though, wearing a Laker jersey? Are you kidding? Like LeBron coming down court and hitting Dame for the three from 30 feet? Oh my goodness. Speak it into existence.
Man,
bro, like him at crypto, just, and then hitting the Dame time. Come on, man. So that's Dame Dalla deserves to play for a ring, no question about it. He should be playing for, you know, an LA franchise, primarily the Lakers. If you're gonna do it with arguably the GOAT, LeBron James. And, you know, the city of Los Angeles, I'm sure, would embrace the hell out of that man. Okay, so, and he comes with really, I mean, to my knowledge, I mean, he doesn't produce any real drama or anything. So, you know, I don't think of him as anything but a baller. You know,
that's I would love to see Dame in the spotlight shooting them 35-footers. I feel like it would be no ego with him and Bron. We just got to see, man. I just hope they land a big fish. They got to go after the big fish, because I really feel like, honestly, in my heart, I feel like this is going to be LeBron and AD's. This is going to be their final run. If they don't get it done this year, something got to shake.
Oh, they've got to rebuild. I mean, is Hachimura going to stay? Because the way that he was talking slick online, I'm like, y'all need to go put hands on this cat. Like, this guy over here acting like he want to leave. I'm like, nah, don't be doing that. Like,
you don't need do that.
Yeah, don't say nothing, but you're coming back ready to go. That's it. Because, hey, there's two other players real quick that, you know, I'm concerned with. That's Schroeder and Russell. Those two I'm concerned about because of the rotations. They're just strange. Austin Reeves, pay that man, please. Pay him and continue to pay him because he's going to produce. No question about it. I can say it here. He's got arguably the craziest potential nickname ever. You know what it is? AR-15.
Yes.
I can't say it on TV, but you know what I'm saying? But like when he be hitting them threes, bro, I'd be texting the homies. I'm like, AR-15?
AR-15, the Arkansas AR-15 rifle, man. Phil Heath, man, appreciate you, my brother, man, stopping by, pulling up, NBA Finals post game, man. Let the people know where they can follow you and what you got coming up, because I know you out here motivational speaking, you're doing your things, appearances. Let them know where they can follow you, Phil.
Yes, just at Phil Heath. Very, very simple on all the platforms. I'm heavy on the Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook. So holler at me. I'm even on LinkedIn at Phil Heath.
Bro, I appreciate you, man. Humbled to have you on here, man. Thanks for your time, Phil. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yes, sir. There you have it, y'all. Phil Heath, Mikey Jets, Uncle Phil, Darnell Porter, the Some Dude Starting Five. I see y'all, man. How y'all feeling tonight, man?
Hey, Cubs, I can't even lie, man. You know, I mean, congratulations to the Nuggets. Well deserved, y'all.
Go ahead and fire away, Mikey.
But I'm just sitting there watching this champagne celebration by the Nuggets, and I gotta say, man, I ain't no hater, but this gotta be the driest like champagne celebration of history. The Joker ain't got no energy. He just like pouring. He ain't even spraying champagne. He just pouring it and drinking beer, and they scared to shoot it on him. It's like, I don't know. It just.
I would say this, Mikey. I agree with you in the entire basketball world when I say this. This was a weird ass NBA Finals. It was a weird ass closeout game. The whole Finals was weird, bro. It was strange. Oh yeah,
you know how I feel about this game. I mean, you know what I've been saying.
What about the refs, Mikey?
You can see that first half, man, evident. If they'd have been calling this series fair, Miami would have had a better chance. The games would have been closer. You know, it'll probably every game would have went like this. Because the Nuggets, I mean, with the help of the refs, we all know up until this point, the Nuggets ain't been known for no defense. They always had high-powered offense. You know what I mean? But the refs, especially when they played the Lakers and then when they played the Heat in this series, they had the Nuggets looking like the number one just defensive team. Like, and I've been calling it. They've been hacking. It's like they don't. It's like you can if you touch them, they giving them the whistle and ones, all that. But it's like soon as you on the other end, they can hack you. Obvious hack calls. We didn't call it out in game when we in the chat. Like, yo, you seen that missed call? He get hacked, no call. He didn't get a hack, no call. You see, they finally started calling the calls first half, right? What was going on? Nuggets complaining. Oh, that ain't no foul. No, this is really y'all defense. Y'all don't not known for defense. Y'all hack. Y'all was getting away with the hacking. The refs finally called the game the right way, and there you have it. And then the second half, it reverted back to the bullshit. I guess the Nuggets got to complaining too much. It went back to the bullshit. They started giving the Nuggets a bunch of questionable calls.
I'm laughing because I knew you was gonna come with that spice, man.
I'm telling you, man. Like, shout out to the Nuggets because they did their thing. That ain't taking nothing away from what they did. They still dominated. Jokic dominated. You know what I'm saying? He played his game. Jamal Murray did what he did. The whole team, they gutted it out. They deserve it. But I'm just calling it how I see it just with my own eyes. And I see this type of thing. And it's like, I mean, man, yo, these refs, bruh.
They terrible.
These refs, bruh. And then it just like, and it's like, man, you know, like Tony Brothers and the rest of them, like him, Scott Foster, they just, I feel like the worst refs. But they some of the most revered refs, though. But I feel like they some of the worst refs because they always calling bullshit every game they referee. But it's like, you can just see it, bro. Like, and Jimmy and them ain't going to complain and say, like, whatever, whatever, whatever. But I guarantee if you talk to them all on some, you know, one-on-one time and you talk about the refs, they going to tell you. Like, I'm telling you, it's too obvious, bro. Like, you can't even touch Jokic, bro. They was out here giving Jokic the motherfucking 2001 Shaq treatment where it was like, Shaq was obviously booing you in your mouth, offensive fouling you, but dunking on you and you getting called for a foul and he talking shit and just doing whatever he wanted to do. And it's like, that's how they was giving this man the treatment, bro. Like, it's crazy, bro. Like,
hey, Darnell Porter, I gotta ask you, we gotta talk about it, man. We gotta keep it spicy. This is the fucking Some Dude Show, man. And this is the Some Dude Star 5. I got y'all guys up here for a fucking reason, man. We gotta talk about Jimmy Butler tonight. We gotta talk about it. Who is Jimmy Butler? Who is Jimmy Butler after tonight? Who is he?
Man, he just Jimmy. I mean, I know people
where is that person?
Man, that man disappeared. Like, he must be in the rafters of what's Miami's arena. He up there like Sting. You remember Sting used to drop down from the rafters? He stayed up there in the rain. He stayed up there in the back.
Hey, that Sting with the white, he had the white face paint, right? Where he had
he dropped down with the baseball bat. Old school Sting.
Man, he waited too late. He waited too late, Cubs, to turn into Jimmy Butler. I knew it. Like, that last, I think it was like two minutes.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah, he waited to start
attacking the basket, and he was just passing the ball for the first 8-9 minutes. He's passing the ball. He was getting close to the rim. Even had mismatches. He could have just He was passing.
That's because Jimmy heard the helicopter on the top of the roof. He heard that jig was up there.
Hey, look, the jig chopper. Hey, speaking of jig, right? I saw the jig chopper today. Y'all saw the tweet. I posted it. I saw the jig chopper today, and I said, I'd send it to y'all. I posted it on Twitter as well. I saw the jig chopper heading to Denver, Colorado. And matter of fact, y'all, this is a special episode tonight. I'm recording this episode. We oceanfront tonight. So tonight, my name is not Cuffs the Legend. Tonight, my name is Oceanfront Cuffs, right? That's my name tonight. I can't see y'all in the chat because I'm having some difficulties. But tonight's episode, NBA Finals, the NBA season has concluded. We're doing the Some Dude Show live oceanfront, y'all. I'm Oceanfront Cuffs now. But I know one damn thing,
Jimmy AKA Butler. AKA Cuffy Combs.
Yeah, I'm Cuffy Combs right now.
Hey,
congrats to Jamal Murray, though. He got emotional. We saw him getting emotional after the game. Like we said with Phil Heath, going through that adversity, having that injury, bouncing back. The bounce back was beautiful, Jamal.
Can I talk some spikes in this real quick to these Miami fans?
Let's go, man. Let's go,
so, Porter. So you front running Miami Heat fans that's all on Twitter and your feelings talk about fire coach Sprung. Look, we got some taco trucks. We got some nice restaurants out in L.A. Look, I got the trade already down. Y'all take coach pockets. You know, we'll help. I know families, you know, when you move, you got to put your kids in different schools. I'll help Darvinham and his family look for a new school in Miami, right? Send Coach Spo out to L.A. if y'all think he was the problem in this series, bro.
We would love to have him.
We'd love to have him, bro. Like, Miami, bro, y'all so spoiled as front runners, bro.
Yeah, they front runner. Eric Spoelstra, nobody on planet Earth can blame him because I still feel like he's the greatest tactical coach in the NBA. He paid attention to details, and he pretty much did everything in his power to get his team. I mean, it was a five-game series. It was ugly. They made it close in game five when, you know, the crowd was against them. It was crazy in there, the atmosphere. The Nuggets could taste the champagne. They could feel the confetti ready to drop. Eric Spoelstra, he took this team as far as he could take them. It's not on him at all.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did take. I mean, most respect. They had a magical run. I mean, from a team losing their first playing game to almost losing the second playing game, but then making it and then beating every round they went through, it was like they were just the super underdog. We didn't expect them to beat Milwaukee, who was the real number one seed that would have been the if they would have made it to these finals, they would have had home court advantage because they had the best record in the NBA. Then you got to go – then they go to second round, play the Knicks. We didn't expect – nobody expected them to beat the Knicks. They beat the Knicks. Then they play Boston. Then nobody expected them to beat Boston. What they do? Went up 3-0 on Boston. And, you know, I mean, they let Boston come back a little bit, but they still, you know, beat them instead of – but I just want to give a shout-out to a brother that he's been on 13 NBA teams. He got his first ring tonight. That brother is Smith. He's been on 13. He's a epitome of what the grind is really is. Never complain. Always played his role. Whenever he you know, a player get hurt, he might come in and hold it down. He's always been productive. He got his first ring tonight. He's been on 13 NBA teams, and maybe I think maybe 10, maybe 12 seasons he's played or something like that. Congrats to him. That's well deserved. That's just an epitome of never quitting and just never complaining and showing up to work regardless where you at. Shout out to him and his family. He well deserved.
Shout out to the North Carolina zone. Charlotte, North Carolina zone, Ish Smith, man. Shout out to Uncle Jeff Green, man. Uncle Jeff Green is the NBA champion, y'all.
Yeah, Jeff Green, too. All the first NBA champions, man. Shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them.
They deserve it.
Uncle Phil, Thomas Bryant is an NBA champion. How do you feel, Uncle Phil?
Well done, Steak Boy. I'm pissed in a motherfucker. I'm so hot, man. You know why I'm hot? I'm hot for a different reason. Of course, we talk about the and all that. But this, you said, let's talk about, I ain't finna worry with Thomas Bryant. First off, let's take a step back. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets for handling your business, because when you talk about the jig hovering, I felt them jokes start to pop up. I was like, they ain't finna let these boys back in the series. Let these boys get back to Biscayne Bay and get a game six and potentially get a game seven.
Hey, Phil, I got kind of nervous there. I was like, oh, shit, we might get six or seven. I got nervous a little bit there.
Man, listen, like I said, congratulations to them, man. Shout out to, you know, getting the job done, getting your first chip. That, like they said, the first one is always special. You talk about all the first-time NBA champions, excluding Thomas Bryant, because, you know, we'll fuck with Thomas Bryant. But that's a side note, you know. The thing is, let's talk about Jimmy Butler, because you said, and you kind of brought it up on the last show. You said that Jimmy Butler was a second option, right?
Yeah.
He's a star.
I said, and to clarify, he's a super strong number two. He can be number one some nights, but right. I think we got caught up in too much of the hyperbole, too much of the jokes, and this character that Jimmy tried to portray with the commercials, the Michelob. Carry on, because I don't think he's a superstar at all.
Right. So look, from now on, I'm not interested in all your cute nicknames. I'm not interested in all your whatever. Because look, me and Mikey Jakes, we were like, well, we're gonna get a Jimmy Butler game at some point in this series, and we didn't get not one. We didn't get not one.
Not Jimmy one.
Not one. So from now on, I don't want to hear nothing about all.
You know what it is, bro? I think he actually, what I peep Jimmy tried to do, because I think he went with a different approach this finals. Because, you know, considering what he did last finals, because he overexerted himself. With the time he did play above his, you know, it's even surprised himself. It's like after that 40-point triple-double, Jimmy wasn't the same player after that game. It was basically over with. He was just basically playing to be playing. If you seen how he was trying, he couldn't barely walk to the podiums after that shit. He could barely talk. He was exerted. He has deserted all. I think this time around, he's trying to more so use his team. And that's what I seen him doing, but he was overdoing it. He tried to overdo what he seen people like LeBron and other teams do. I think he needed to set the initiative like, okay, we don't got Tyler Hero. That's one of our weapons missing. That's another guy that I know I can probably depend on if I'm, you know, me and Bam having bad games, because he might have an explosion game. That's a guy that can explode for 30 or 40 points if he was playing. But he's not there. So, Jimmy, you need to have no less than 30 points. You know what I mean? Leading this team, 30 points. You or Bam. Either one of y'all got to explode for 30 points every other game. And then another poor player can have about 25 to 20 points. But, y'all, it was the inconsistency in that. I think a lot of their bodies was breaking down. I even seen, like, a lot of their little nick and knack injuries was catching up to him. Even Gabe Vincent. Once the attention started getting on him and they started pressuring him, started hitting him a little bit more, he started missing shots. Stuff started tightening up for him. Same thing with Max Strus. I mean, they was running plays for Max Strus early in the fourth, majority of the fourth. He was taking the shots that I felt like Jimmy Butler, you should have been taking whether you hit or miss. But
Jimmy was deferring a lot there. And
yes.
What I saw. I'm gonna tell y'all what I saw. We live on the Some Dude Show right now, live on AM. I'm gonna tell you what I saw from Jimmy, even before that explosion he had down the stretch. What I saw from Jimmy is, this is somebody who's been in player development for 20 years, right? I'm gonna break it down as far as like training aspect, like footwork and all that. Jimmy has very good two-step jump stop footwork. Jimmy wants to have a straight line drive, 2 to 3 dribbles max, get to his jump stop. The thing that happened in this series, the scouting report was really good from Denver, the defenders that was guarding him, because if you sit on his pump fake, if you don't bite on Jimmy's pump fakes, he's way less effective, right?
Exactly. And
he was getting a lot of guys in foul trouble the first couple series because they kept falling for his pump fakes. But what I saw from Jimmy down the stretch a little bit, Jimmy doesn't have wiggle. He don't have that SGA wiggle, that Paul George crossover. He don't have a lot of good change of direction moves. Jimmy has straight line drives, get to his spot, jump stop, show you the ball, hope you bite. Then he might pivot into his fadeaway here and there. But Jimmy don't really have a lot of, I would say, A1 superstar. Like, we live in a time where everybody talks about having the bag, right? And I feel like that is overrated sometimes. Like I said about Tatum and those guys over dribbling. But those guys have a real herky jerky change of direction. And Jimmy lacks that. He don't have that wiggle and that herky jerky in his game naturally. So I think the word was out with the Nuggets on the scouting report. Just stay down. Just stay down on Jimmy. That turnover he had, the crucial turnover he had down the stretch in the final minute.
Oh, my God.
Go back and watch that possession. That turnover happened because they sat on his pump fake and he didn't have a counter.
Exactly, bro. When he did that shit, bro, I was sitting there like, Jimmy, come on,
damn,
bro.
It's like
you had the strong drive and you could have just teardropped it in. Whether you hit or miss, I live with that. But the fact that you went in there, got stagnant, then they had nowhere to go, then tried to look for the pass and threw it out of bounds. It's like, bruh.
You know what Jimmy showed up tonight? Wheelchair Jimmy from Degrassi. That's who showed up.
Nah, you know what Jimmy showed up tonight? The Jimmy that I always was like, you know, like I said, I got a lot of more respect for him now, and I definitely respect him way more than I did when he played for the Bulls. Cause he went back to his Bulls years when I guess, you know, when he, you know, started getting a little clout and started getting on that year, you know, when D Rose was still hurt, he made a name for himself and, you know, led the Bulls playoffs. He became the man on that team. You know what I mean? That he reverted back to that Jimmy Butler where it was like, I'm the man now, but you know, he was still developing his skills and shit. He was just showing that he could ball and he was up and coming. Like, you know what I mean? He reverted back to that Jimmy cause you were way too passive, bro. And I get why you probably was, but this particular game, y'all had the itch. Cause if Jimmy would have took the initiative to play like he did in the final two to three minutes and play like that from the beginning of the fourth, they would have won this game. Cause yeah, y'all would have been up, they would have probably been up 5 to 6 points at the least. But y'all would have won this game if you'd have been that much aggressive. Cause Kyle Lowry stepped up this game. Everybody else was doing their best to step up this game. Bam held it down in the first half. Everybody was doing what they needed to do. I mean, even though Gabe Vincent had an off game, he still was making it up for his hustle. You know what I mean? If he made a mistake, if he threw a turnover, he'd make it up on the defensive end. He got steals. He still was attacking. He still was trying to, you know, he still was shooting threes, whether he hit or miss. He stayed aggressive. Jimmy, you were just passing the ball. I hate when you drive to the hole, then go to the other side of the basket, then pass it out. It's like a whole twirl when you taking off damn near 15 seconds off the shot clock.
So what Mikey is saying right now is Jimmy looked like Hersey Hawkins without the chest hair. That's what he's saying. You look like Hersey Hawkins without the taco meat chest hair. That's what you look like, Jimmy.
That's a Chicago legend. Chill, man. Shout out Hersey Hawkins, man.
Let me ask y'all these final questions before we go. I know it's late. NBA Finals, the season has concluded. We all going to be staring at the jig for the next couple months, but it's going to get spicy on the offseason side. So we still going to be rocking out on the Some Dude Show on that aspect. But who is going to beat these fucking Denver Nuggets next year? Who is the favorite right now going into the offseason? We know we got to see the offseason trades and free agency or whatnot, but who do y'all feel like is really going to challenge these Nuggets next year?
You know what I'm going to say? I feel like, you know, Bron and the Lakers could challenge them. It was just a matter of them being healthy. I feel like if it wasn't for Bron's foot, you know what I mean? Like, where he could just drive to the hole with no pain and be him. And like just imagine if Bron would have been playing like he was, you know, from that stretch when his birthday before he broke that record, before he messed his foot up, right? Just imagine
PTSD. I'm getting PTSD, man.
I know you are. I know me too, but we got to talk about it. Just imagine though, right? We get that version of Bron with the way AD, we know AD can play with this new team and, you know, D-Lo with the jitters out of his stomach and we know him playing up to his potential he can play with. Bro, we would have beat this team because they have, at the end of the day, they have nobody to guard. Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter Jr., none of them. KCP, none of them can guard LeBron. He knows that. It actually helped them that he was playing on one foot. You know
what's so impressive about this Nuggets championship, though? I hear everybody saying it was a boring finals. I agree. The finals really stink overall. It really stink. We watch it because we love basketball. But the most impressive dynamic of them winning this is this wasn't a super deep team. Like their bench, Bruce Brown showed up pretty much every night. But they didn't get a lot of firepower from their bench as far as scoring. They had that one big game from Christian Brown. But other than that, it was kind of like hit or miss with their bench. So this team, I feel like for Denver to repeat, they're going to have to retool a little bit too and have to get some scoring on their bench. I feel like they're going to have to add some pop to their bench if they want to repeat. Because we know the Lakers coming back strong. The Phoenix Suns going to bounce back. They're going to tweak some things. The Warriors going to still be in the hunt. I feel like the Nuggets going to have to address their bench and get some more scoring punch.
Everybody going to get better next season. Then you got to look at all the young new pups that are coming in. Like they all going to get better. But I just want to shout out real quick. Shout out all the Denver Nuggets legends that, you know, never achieved, that, you know, went through all the tussling of hurtful losing years, the Dikembe Mutombo, the LaPhonso Ellis, the Darrell Arthurs, the you know what I mean, the Carmelo Anthony,
Nene Hilario.
Yeah, Nene Hilario, the Brazilian legend, Kenyon Martins, the Kenneth Farid, the Manimal, my man's
even AI was out there.
Mel Wilson Chandler.
Brian Stiff.
The Mahmoud Raouf, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? The Chris Jackson, the Jalen Rose, Juwan Howard, you know, the Denver Nuggets legends that ran through there. The James.
I got a name for y'all. One of my favorite Nuggets. This guy had the craziest bounce for a small guard, Robert Pack.
Yes, Robert Pack. I was about to say that. Robert Pack. Yeah, the Dikembe Mutombos, just all the legends. Because I seen LaPhonso Ellis at the game, too. He was at the game. But just the guys that really put in the work, they never got the credit. The Antonio McDice, you know what I'm saying? This championship for y'all. Y'all know all y'all is getting drunk tonight, celebrating like y'all won it. Y'all might even get a compliment. They might even give y'all a ring or something, man, just because y'all Nuggets legends. But y'all.
Hey, I went out there to get a ring. AI went out there to get a ring, too.
I said AI. Carmelo's.
We can't forget J.R. Smith, Denver Nuggets. Kenyon Martin, I see you out there.
Yes, we got it. You know, we wouldn't be right if we didn't shout out them old Denver Nuggets legends from just back in the days, man, when they was doing their thing, the Kiki Vandeweghe's, when they was losing, when Jordan was out there just dunking on them and going crazy on them, you know. But
hey yo guys, before I land this plane, shout out to Dan Issel too, George Carl, Dan Issel, those guys, David Thompson. But before I land this plane, man, I'm oceanfront right now, oceanfront cuffs, we kicking it. But before I go, I want to ask y'all my starting five right here: Uncle Phil, Darnell Porter, Mikey Jets. I'm gonna give y'all my favorite moment of the NBA season. Right, this season is kind of sad. It's a bittersweet feeling when the finals ends every year. I feel sad, I ain't gonna lie. Whether I'm cheering for a team, whether my favorite player is in the finals, it's always a sad day when the NBA season officially ends. But my favorite moment of the season, the 2022-2023 season, is when Patrick Beverley from Chicago, Illinois, when Pat Bev went up to that referee in Boston that night and he took that camera and walked over to that man and said, look at this fucking camera. This is the call that you made. That's got to be my favorite moment of the NBA.
Oh, you talking about the guy that had a burner Twitter page and is under investigation right now, who couldn't ref a single game in the finals because of that? Oh, that guy. Oh, okay.
I might have to get those frame, Cuff. But let me go back real quick and answer your question about teams that could challenge Denver. There were three teams in mind. Maybe potentially one of the teams from LA. And the other team I'm thinking is out east. Maybe Milwaukee, because if I'm just looking at the matchup, if we're just kind of looking at the roster as it's constructed, there's no real matchup that Denver can exploit from the Milwaukee side, because like if you want to run Jamal Murray out there, you got Drew Holiday. If you want to do Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter Jr., you can do the Chris Middleton. If you want to do Jokic, you actually got a big body for him in Brook Lopez.
No, Chris Middleton might not be there because of the summer. I don't know, but we'll see.
He might, but it's just me looking at it, I'm like, maybe that challenge really don't come out west. Maybe they find a way to get through the West again. Maybe if we get a Denver-Milwaukee series, we get a seven-game classic, if I'm just thinking about it right now.
That would be a great NBA Finals.
And I tell you my moment, and it's gonna be funny because it's a Laker moment. My moment is during Black History Month, we played the Dallas Mavericks. And I was in Dallas at the time. And we was down 26, 27 points. And on our comeback, little AR-15 walks up to my man of Dallas and tell him, I'll fuck you up.
Josh Green.
Yeah, he told Josh Green, he said, I'll fuck you up. I say, damn, on Black History Month, you know this little black man in Black History Month? Damn. That was my favorite. And then we won the game, so that made it even better. Like, that made it sweeter. He told my man, I'll fuck you up. I had never seen AR talk like that before. He talked real spicy that day. I'm like, damn. He was invited to the cookout after that, guys.
Hey, guys, we live right here. Before we go, before we land this Flourish airline plane tonight, the Some Do Show, before we land that show, we got 1017 Daryl. It's Darrell, right? 1017 Darrell.
Nah, it's Daryl, cuz.
1017 Daryl. He's been riding for his Denver. His Denver Nuggets have won the NBA championship, my brother. I know you are basking in the euphoria right now.
Hey, man.
You sound like you've been crying. Have you been crying, bro?
Nah, man. I'm enjoying the moment, though, brother. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, you know, he grinds because he over there been drinking and crying. You know him, y'all.
Hey, look, I tell people this all the time, right? When you really love this shit, and your favorite team or your favorite player wins a championship, outside of your kids being born and your wedding day, when your favorite team a chip, like, there's no greater feeling as a man, bro. Like, when your favorite team or player wins the championship, you are on cloud. Your dopamine levels are on 1,000 for weeks and months at a time, bro.
Absolutely. Hey, I just got to get this one off, cuffs. Thomas Bryant is an NBA fucking champion, man.
don't tell Uncle Phil.
Fucking Thomas Bryant, bro. Like, hey,
Thomas Bryant went from you know, working his way up on the Washington Gizzards, not the Wizards, the Gizzards. Winning the NBA championship. No, to going on the Lakers complaining, having a career season at that. On the Lakers, getting the most tickies ever got, the most props he ever got, probably, you know, with a, you know, but he complained, got up out of there, and now he's an NBA champion. Ain't that something?
It's funny, though, y'all, because
at 10-17,
yo,
I know you're happy right now. I don't want to think too far out, but the way this team is constructed, bro, it looks like y'all might be back here again next year, bro.
Yeah, if I'm being straight up with you, Cuffs, I believe so, too. But before I even give you that, because I got something to touch on that. I've been listening in for a minute. Funny enough, if the Lakers would have won that motherfucker this year and the Nuggets didn't win, Thomas Bryant was technically still be a champion.
Yeah, he would. Yes, he was good either way.
Yeah,
you're right. I forgot about that because the Lakers had already announced they would give a championship rings to everybody. You're right.
But guess what though? They would have gave him. They wouldn't have gave him the real version. They'd have gave him like the, you know, like the version to be everybody get a wifey's and shit. You know, he
the janitor version. Like,
his diamonds wouldn't have been as real as the ones in the actual ring. So you know, it had 10-17
Daryl.
Yes,
what is your favorite moment for your Denver Nuggets? Not of any other team. What is your favorite moment? This whole gauntlet that y'all went through, y'all pretty much dominated the playoffs. I'm happy for Murray, happy for Jokic, KCP, two-time champ. What's your favorite moment of your Denver Nuggets this season?
Shit, Cuffs, you're putting me on the spot, man. It's too many, man. I mean, if I'm being honest with you, just a single game, I think it'll be when.
When did you know that these Nuggets were for real? Because I started the show that way. I never believed in these Nuggets. I used to always joke the Nuggets don't scare a soul. When did you sell yourself as a fan? Because I know you were kind of in the back of your mind as a realistic diehard fan. You're like, man, can we really do this shit? When did that click where you say, you know what, we gonna win this shit?
If I'm being honest with you, I mean, it's so complex because I could give you two answers, man. I could easily tell you when they did what they did to Phoenix, and then I could also come at you and say when they did what they did to the Lakers. I felt like the most offense that they were gonna see, the most deadliest, would have been the two-manship of KD and Book. And, you know, they handled them easily. And, I mean, a lot of people didn't look at those games when you could easily come back and say, hey, man, they only won by such and such amount of points.
the two wins that Phoenix did win, they were 1-10 margins. I think 1-5, if I'm being honest with you. So it was a situation where I was like, they could have very well swept their way through the playoffs. Outside of one when they gave up to Minnesota on just bullshit. They lost one game to Minnesota. And so it could be either one of those moments for me, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, obviously the Lakers, you know what AD about, you know what Bron is. But if I'm being truthful with you, I felt like we were always going to beat the Lakers. I just don't know how, why. And again, I am a huge Bron fan, so it's hard to say that, but I always felt like the Nuggets would beat them. I felt like the Nuggets learned their lesson when they was in the bubble, and they really hadn't got to see the Lakers again since then in the playoffs. And so, I mean, yeah, either of those moments, if I'm being, you know, completely honest with you. But no, I just wanted to say this too, cuz did you realize that both of KCP rings are courtesy of the Heat?
So KCP, I just realized it now as you say it. KCP, he really owns the Miami Heat. Damn.
He owns Jimmy Butler, the Jimmy Butler version of the Miami Heat.
How do you feel about Jimmy in this series? I know you're rooting for the Nuggets, so you didn't care if he looked like Kerry Kittles this series. But what do you think went wrong for Jimmy in this series, man? Do you think it was like the attrition, maybe the ankle, or Jimmy Butler is all a boogeyman? It's all a fake boogeyman.
Well, I feel like it's been a lot of little random shit going on. I think he exhausted himself in the conference finals and, you know, pretty much from beyond then. Like Mikey was saying earlier, like, he left it all out there when he played in the bubble, and I felt like he kind of tried to bring that back through the first three rounds. And then he got to the finals, and it was kind of one of those situations where he did kind of try a little LeBron-esque tactic of playing off his teammates a little too much, and that shit backfired on him. You see how it happened. Like, when it come down to it, you getting hot in the last 2-3 minutes of the game, that don't mean much. I mean, unless you really finna figure out a way to, you know, pull this thing through. And I just still didn't see it. Even with him making those shots, like, you know, I heard y'all earlier saying, you know, y'all got a little nervous. My feelings didn't waver. I don't know if that's just being a passionate fan or just looking at it like, I don't trust this damn Heat team. Like, regardless of whatever they might, you know, how many shots they may take, how many they may make, I just don't see them winning this game. And it went from, you know, them having a lead for half of the game, going to halftime and being up by, I think, what, 5 it was? You got a situation like that when you're up and you've been beating them for the first two quarters, you need to put your feet on their neck. You need to be up at least 10-plus going into halftime. And they could not manage to do that. You got to the next quarter, Denver started weighing them down because the third quarter is their best quarter for the most part. Ran them down like the Warriors been doing people for years. That third quarter run is vicious.
I said it in the chat. I said the Denver Nuggets are starting to walk Miami down. But you know what I think it is with Jimmy, man? I think what it is with Jimmy, man, is you heard that saying that everybody's a bully until they get punched by the bully. Jimmy, he knows with his type of personality, he can do that shit to maybe Tatum and Brown, right? He could do that shit, and they kind of fall for that. He the boogeyman. You know, he's Debo, right? He's Debo on Friday. But that shit did not work with Jokic and these Nuggets. And that's why I got to commend those guys for, like, they weren't worried about none of that shit they seen Jimmy do against nobody else. And that was the difference in this series. But the jig has officially hovered, y'all. The jig has officially hovered. Biscayne Bay, the chopper is coming. Pat Riley. Much love, Godfather, but it's not going to happen this year. Alonzo Mourning, you're one of my all-time favorites. It's not going to happen this year. Congratulations to the Denver damn Nuggets. We've been joking y'all for a long time, calling you the Chicken Nuggets, the Burger King Nuggets, the Chick-fil-A Nuggets, all the jokes in the world for these Nuggets. And what do? They win the fucking NBA championship. It's going to get real spicy this offseason, y'all. I appreciate y'all tuning in to the Some Do Show. We're going to keep it lit during this offseason. We got the NBA draft coming up. We're going to talk about that. Should the Charlotte Hornets, should they take Scoot or should they take Brandon Miller? We're going to talk about that coming soon on the Some Do Show. We're going to break down the draft. We're going to break down the summer league. We're going to keep it spicy, free agency rumors. Because you know I'm the real insider right here, right? Y'all know that. Y'all know we talk to the players. Y'all know we got the inside track or inside scoop on what's going on. Don't let these media herbs lie to y'all. They don't have no intel. But the Some Do Show, man, I appreciate y'all tuning in tonight, live on AMP. But I got to leave y'all, as I always do. Miami Heat, y'all had a great run. Y'all had a good run, a phenomenal run. 8-seed play-in. The Denver Nuggets, it's only one champion. So the Miami Heat, I got to leave y'all with this. It's only fair. I did it to everybody else, the Celtics, the Lakers. Miami Heat, you had a great run. Congrats. Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, Finals MVP, Jamal Murray. Way to bounce back, boy. Way to bounce back, boy. ACL, doubt on yourself, didn't know you would ever turn, you know, get back to this point. So shout out to Jamal. Shout out to KCP one more time. Two-time NBA champion KCP, LA Laker royalty. Jamal Murray, champion. Thomas Bryant, NBA champion. Miami Heat, maybe next time.
To my homies in that gangster league, why'd you have to go so soon? It seems like yesterday we were hanging around the hood. Now I'm gonna keep your memory alive like a homie should. A lifetime of memories going down the drain. I like to keep stepping, but I can't get past the pain.
I took my body to your memory. Take a drink and I start to think and I know one day soon we'll be hanging out.
This is for my homies.
This is for my homies. Well, well.
See you when I get there
in that gangsta lane. That gangsta lane.
This is for my homies.
This is for my homies, well.
See you when I get there
in that gangsta lane, that gangsta lane.
My God, could you pass on a message for me? Tell him put down those dice for a second, Lord. Listen to his homie. Could you tell him I'll never let go of his memory, so his son will know you don't have to cry no more, 'cause God's got his back. I said God's got his back.
A lifetime of memories,
lifetime of memories,
going down the drain,
going down the drain.
I'd like to keep stepping.
We'll be hanging out.
This is all.